is Acts 6 through the third verse of chapter 8. But we're not going to read all of that out loud. We will start, however, in Acts chapter 7, beginning with verse 54. And so if you would stand for the public reading of God's perfect word, and let us hear from him this morning. So Acts chapter 7, I'm going to begin with verse 54. Now, when they, some Jewish antagonists to Stephen, now when they heard these things, they were enraged and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul approved of his execution. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church, and entering the house after house, he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Father, as I said before I began to read these verses, who we really want to hear from is you. And as we've heard you speak through your Holy Spirit, through the writer Luke, would you continue to help us to hear you? Help the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable. And may the ears of the hearers and the meditations of their heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's be seated. So, Pastor Ken, somewhere a couple weeks ago, you said you were going to start 1 Timothy. And I did say that. And the plan was to take 3 weeks to take a look at the life of Paul, who gives us, through the Holy Spirit, 1 Timothy, Titus, and 2 Timothy. And today, we are introduced to the one that we're going to be talking more about towards the end, but we really get to know Saul because of Stephen. And as we have been thinking about, as a congregation, the issue of revival, certainly the idea of being full of the Spirit has come to play. And so the first week we looked at a couple of things regarding the being full of the Spirit. And first we said that we would define it as like wind in a sail, directing an individual, empowering them to action, or salt in the meat, in which not only purifies the meat, but also has a means of penetration through all that it touches. And that finally we said as a definition that being full of the Spirit is as a hand is in a glove, and the glove can do nothing unless it's filled with a hand to empower and move it. Those were all biblical definitions of that phrase being full of the Spirit. And then we looked at the end of that first sermon 2 weeks ago of that idea being prescribed to us, as it being commanded to us out of Ephesians 5:18, that we are to be filled with the Spirit. Not merely sealed the moment that we are believers, but that we are regularly to seek the filling of the Spirit, that we might be able to be under His direction, that we would be filled with the awe and wonder that we were speaking of earlier in the Lord, that we would be useful in this kingdom, that we are to be full of the Spirit. And I pray that you've begun to pray that way. Lord, fill me with your Spirit, that you may receive more glory through me. If it is a command, I pray that we have been pursuing it by removing the sin of our lives and pursuing those works of the Spirit that we have been called to. And then last week, we just stopped and we looked at Psalm 85 and the issue of revival, and what does the Bible say about revival and what does that look like? If you're not with us and you're interested, you can go back and listen to that sermon online. And so I want to come back to now this story of Stephen. And we're really not going to focus on Saul, but I want to give you some good news. Some of you know a Saul, spitting nails at the church, dominating conversations in order to shut down Christians. And I want to encourage, some of them may be your spouse. Some of them may be a parent. Some of them may be a child or your neighbor. And I want to encourage you that as we look at Saul for just a second, no one is beyond the arm of the Lord for salvation. Just as we read a little bit of Saul, know that his story isn't done being written yet in the book of Acts. Neither is the full story of your parent, spouse, child, neighbor, coworker. Continue to plead for God to open up his heart or her heart. So we're going to come back to Stephen this morning and look at this idea of being full of the Spirit as he is referenced a number of times. So this morning, as we're going on in that first sermon, and we're going to describe what it looks like to be filled with the Spirit. So full of the Spirit defined, a wind in the sail, salt in the meat, hand in glove, full of the Spirit prescribed. It is a command. We are to be pursuing it. Full of the Spirit described. What does it look like then if I am a person described as full of the Spirit? And here we're going to look at the life of Stephen. And the first thing, and the main, as you can see regarding space in your worship notes, the main thing I want us to see here is that being full of the Spirit means that we will be useful unto God. Do you want to be used of God? Then pray to be filled by the Spirit. If you don't want to be used by God, do you even have the Spirit? If in honesty, you're just comfortable coming and attending and getting your fill on Sundays, and that's all you ever wish for, my brothers and sisters, ponder if you even have the Spirit. Because those who are filled of the Spirit are used by the Spirit for the glory of God. And if I find myself in a season when all I'm doing is sitting around and absorbing like a sponge and never doing anything for the kingdom, and I'm not all upset about that, brother and sister, pray for the filling of the Spirit, because you may be very dry. Well, what makes you say that being full of the Spirit means that God's going to use me? And I'm going to tell you why I've said that. So let's back up into Acts chapter 6. So I know we read 7, but up in Acts chapter 6, here's the first main problem within the church of God. There were some problems outside, but this is coming now from inside. And there's that dispute between the widows, the Hebrew widows and the Hellenist widows. And the Hellenists aren't too sure. The Greek widows aren't too sure they're getting fed the same. And there's turmoil. There's contention and strife. And so we have then an opportunity for the Lord to raise up what we believe will become the office of deacon. And there, verse 3, therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit. So we need some workers around here. Make sure that the men that you're going to be recommending to be used for the good of the body be filled with the Spirit. And then, as you continue to go on, and of wisdom, and we will appoint this duty, and we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word, and what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. But for whatever reason, Stephen is particularly noted. All of them, all seven names, are to be fulfilling the requirement of being full of the Spirit, but Stephen even more so, where he gets unique attention and a spotlight shone on him. Stephen is a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. And then go down in verse 8. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Well, where do we get power? We get it from the Spirit. This is one of the reasons why we were defining that a couple of weeks ago. And notice the balance there, full of grace and power. Some are steamrollers, and some of us are so gracious we never say or do anything. But Stephen, filled with the Spirit, is both of these, full of grace and power, and was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Now, we're not told what those signs are, but in the book of Acts, the predominant sign that is used of the presence of God is healing. And so it would be my assumption, please underline that, that's Pastor Ken's assumption, that the predominant work of the Spirit is what's being done by Stephen. That would be healing. So that notice that a Spirit-filled Christian is going to be useful unto God. What was Stephen doing? He was doing something that would help the people of the church. And he was also out amongst the people, the non-believers, that they might come to faith. So that a Spirit-filled person will have a care and a concern for those in the church and those outside of the church, that they might yet become inside the church. A man full of the Spirit is willing to do the menial acts, like fixing plates of food and cleaning the crumbs afterwards, as well as doing the supernatural acts of doing something that only God can do, and him being an instrument of God so that others might believe in the message that he preaches. A Spirit-filled Christian will be useful unto God in serving others and in speaking of Christ. Well, Pastor Kendall, I get the serving others. I see that really clearly in Acts. But what about the speaking of Christ? Well, this is what unfolds in chapter 6, as there are some Jews who are upset at him for not emphasizing Moses. He speaks of Christ. And what is the role of the Holy Spirit anyway? The role of the Holy Spirit is to make much of Jesus. And if I'm filled with the Spirit, somehow or other, I'm going to be making much of Jesus to those around me as well. Stephen is confronted by those in the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians and of the Alexandrians. So who are these people that he is going out and preaching to? So he's going to the synagogues. Remember, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation for the Jew first, and then also to the Greeks. And Stephen evidently had taken that model that Paul himself will take later on as well. And so the freedmen are those who are believed to be Jewish believers who have been freed from their bondage of serving houses as slaves, and they have made their own synagogue. Those who have been freed have their freedom, and they've now got a synagogue in Jerusalem, and they worship together. That's Cyrenians, or those in Turkey or in Asia Minor, in which we would call that today. They also, now in Jerusalem, found some others of the same sort of language and background and culture. And those of Alexandria, over there in the northern part of Africa, have come to Jerusalem to live, and they formed their own synagogue. And so even as Stephen is preaching the gospel, it's to these people outside of Jerusalem proper, but who have moved to Jerusalem. Sort of like our own low country area. Do you want to speak to somebody from Turkey? Do you want to speak to Somebody from India? Do you want to speak to somebody from Portugal or from Peru or from China? You may not have to cross any bodies of water except the Ashley River or the Wando as you're out and about going shopping and God has brought the world here to us in our own backyards. Something similar to what Stephen is doing. And he's speaking to these people that, of their need for Jesus. And they brought them to the council, the Sanhedrin, and began to falsely accuse him for speaking against Moses. When he's speaking more of Christ, the one who came to fulfill the law, to be the one that Moses prophesied, that after him a prophet would come to fulfill all that he had said. The fruit of the Spirit is love. We know that part of the fruit of the Spirit is love, and it's love in action for others in the body, and it is love in action for those who need Christ. When I'm filled with the Spirit will empower me, move me, direct me to those who need to be served. When I am low on the Spirit, I am the one who wants to be served. But when I'm full of the Spirit, I move towards others who need serving. Again, I ask the question, do you wish to be useful in the kingdom? Then I dare you, before you get out of the bed, dear Holy Spirit, fill me and I will do whatever you tell me. That is the Christian life. Well, how will I know if it's the Spirit? How do I know if the Spirit's leading? Or how do I know it's not some voice in my inner being? Or as Scrooge said, some morsel from the night before that I ate. Well, we're going to come to that in just a moment. But do I wish to be useful? Let me ask for the filling of the Spirit and be obedient as He leads. Perhaps He will cause you to pray over the sick. Perhaps He will simply cause you to pick up the phone and call a saint that you haven't seen in a while. Rather than getting a call, you'll be the one giving the call. Perhaps, as you ask to be filled by the Spirit, He'll ask you to be a part of that feeding the community with groceries and the gospel. Well, I don't know what I would do. Well, just go and you'll find out. Or, I don't know if I have the boldness to do that. Can I tell you something, dear believer? You have not been given a spirit of timidity, but one of boldness, says the Scripture. Yeah, but so does that mean I sit and I wait for the boldness before I go? And my answer to you is no. Read your Bibles. When the people of God are getting ready to cross the Jordan into the Jericho, and there's that river that's before them, when does the water part? When do they cross? They do not cross when they see the water has parted and all is clear. It's safe now. The water, God does not begin to move in them and through them and for them until they pick up, the priests pick up their foot and they're bringing it down. And then the water recedes. Some of us are sitting around waiting at home to be zapped with some sort of power that we want to be able to describe to others, and then we get moving. It's as we are serving, it's as we are going that the Lord makes way for us. At least begin with, fill me with your Spirit, and I'll go where you tell me, I'll say what you tell me, I'll do what you tell me, and trust you for the power that I need in the going and the doing and the saying. Perhaps as you're filled with the Spirit, He'll cause you to go over and actually spend some time with a homebound brother or sister in Christ and read the scriptures with. Don't just catch up on the news. They need to be caught up on God's word and God's grace and prayer. Perhaps as the Spirit fills you, He will cause you to invite your neighbors into your home and have a meal with them and tell them that you love them and pray for a moment in which God will open a door of opportunity that you might boldly speak. And maybe if you pray, Lord, would you fill me with your Spirit, you'll be in another part of the world this time next year proclaiming the gospel. Why not? It's His kingdom, and I'm His servant in His kingdom. So do I mean it when I say, Holy Spirit, whatever you want, and I'll go. Holy Spirit, whatever you want, and I'll do. I was talking with a brother this morning, and we were talking about the issue of how faith is sometimes inconvenient. In which when we are walking by faith, God doesn't come into our schedule and make things smooth, but He rips us out of our schedule into His kingdom schedule for His glory. Are we okay with that when that happens? Or is that interruption that's in our hearts perhaps actually a divinely appointed time from God? Full of the Spirit is at least, we mean, useful unto God. And brother and sister in Christ, you can be useful unto God. There's one body and yet many parts and many gifts. And the way it looks for you to serve the Lord full of the Spirit will probably be different than the way it looks for somebody else in the body. Don't measure yourself based on what somebody else is doing. Measure yourself to your moment-by-moment obedience to God. Came across a little four-lined poem, succinct, by J.S. Baxter. And I have no idea who J.S. Baxter is, but he said this: what God chooses, He cleanses. What God cleanses, He molds. What God molds, He fills. And what God fills, He uses. Brothers and sisters in Christ, if you're worried about what is Pastor Ken going to go with this filling of the Spirit thing, at least let us begin with, oh God, I want to be used by You in Your kingdom. Like Stephen, a man continually remarked as a man full of Your Spirit. Another description that maybe we won't like, but it is true that we can be full of the Spirit and yet opposed by men. You may very well be in the dead center of God's will, and those around you hate you, misunderstand you, falsely accuse you. Don't consider the approval of men or the lack of it as a sign that you are full of the Spirit. Here, Stephen is full of the Spirit, full of grace, full of power, full of God doing something through him. And yet these men stir up the people against Stephen. And notice that the charges are vaguely familiar, so that in verse 11, they secretly instigated men, so some false witnesses. We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. Right, and they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and seized him, brought him before the council, set up even more false witnesses. This man never ceases to speak words against this holy place, the temple, and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us. Does that sound vaguely familiar at all? As they persecuted me, so they will also persecute you. It's the same trumped up a tripe that they tried against the Lord Jesus Christ. Almost word for word, charge for charge. And you will be telling people about Jesus, and they will misunderstand. You will tell people about Jesus, and they might even get angry at you and bring you before a courthouse. That doesn't mean you're any less full of the Spirit, but while you are full of the Spirit, you'll be able to withstand them. Full of the Spirit and opposed by men. Listen to this. Well, I'm going to wait on that. Now, as they are giving to him, as they're angry, as there's these false witnesses, as they're saying false things about what he's saying and falsely accusing him, notice his demeanor in verse 15. And gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel. That last half sentence has been on my heart. What do people see when they look at me? Here he is, under duress, pressed, oppressed, falsely accused, no doubt men in his face, pointing fingers and shouting with red faces. And his is like the face of an angel at peace. Reflecting the glory. Well, what does an angel's face look like? It shines with the reflection of the glory of God upon him. So too we are be but the reflection of God whom we serve. This emanating spirit giving us peace and comfort and boldness. And gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like that of an angel. Too often, I think it may be true that others see the face of the devil in mine, filled with anger and how dare you, and I'm going to get you back. Husbands, it might be a good place to start is to ask your wife, what does your face look like? And wife, to ask your husband. Because everybody else gets the good face, if we're honest. Parents, it might be good to ask your children, what does your face look like? He's full of the Spirit and yet opposed. Yet, because he's full of the Spirit, his face shines because he understands that this is spiritual warfare. This really isn't about me. This is about Jesus. Gordon Ketty says this, most men might blanch under such threatening accusation, but Stephen had the face of an angel. He was perfectly composed. Not the fear of men, but the fire of God was in his soul. He was beyond intimidation, beyond the temptation to recant, beyond the grasp of persecuting power in all but his body. Brothers and sisters, when we are full of the Spirit, others may oppose us. Let's not be surprised. Let us be ready to ask for the continued filling of the Spirit, that we would still respond with the faces of angels and words of grace touched with the truth. What else might it look like? That's not my favorite, Pastor Ken. What else might it look like for me to be filled with the Spirit? And so not only is it true that we would be useful unto God, but that we might be opposed by men, but then notice that being filled with the Spirit means that we will be ready for an answer. Ready with an answer. So, as this trial, or whatever you want to call it, goes on in chapter 7, the high priest says, "Are these things so?" And Stephen begins to give a response. And what is Stephen's response? Bible. It's not philosophy. It's not self-justification. It's not, "I'm really a nice guy if you get to know me." Stephen's response is the Bible. And he's unafraid because they're saying that he is rejecting Moses. And he says, "Okay, you want to talk about the idea of rejecting Moses. Let's go to the Scriptures." And he gives them a history lesson. Now, notice that he didn't say, "Can you give me a week while I go research this?" This is a man who's already filled with the Scripture. Remember earlier when I said, "Well, how do I know if it's the Spirit speaking to me or that the words I'm going to be saying are Spirit-led?" You will know the more that you are filled with the Scripture and saying the things that the Spirit has given us to say. Is what I'm getting ready to do or say in line with what the Spirit has already instructed me in His Word? And from beginning to end, Stephen's speech is about the truthfulness of God's Word. And so he says, you want to talk about rejecting Moses? Well, let's talk about when Moses actually came and how at the time in which he killed the Egyptian, you opposed him then. And then he went away for 40 years and came back as your deliverer, and God used him to deliver you, and you brought him into the wilderness to receive the law. And what was your response? You rejected Moses again, wanting to worship the idols of Egypt again. You wanted nothing to do with this Moses. Oh, let's talk about the rejection of Moses as God continues to send prophet after prophet to teach you the Word of God, and thus saith the Lord. And what was your response? Prophet after prophet, there wasn't a prophet except you killed them. Let's talk about rejecting the work of God. Let's look at our Bibles and what's your track record? And on he goes. Not defending himself, but speaking God's word to a question that has been posed to him. He is ready with an answer because the word is alive in his heart. When we ask for the filling of the Holy Spirit, we need to be praying things like, "Holy Spirit, that scripture I worked so hard on last week to memorize, would you continue to bring it into my heart and mind? That scripture that I have hidden in my heart, would you continue to help me to think about and ponder that word? So, because your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, and I'm going to continue to think about your word so that I might not sin against you, so that as I think about your word and what the saints of old have done, I may be able to do too, to have that same boldness, the same mission, to tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ, to help that wounded person on the side of the road so that they might hear of Jesus, or hand out a cup of cold water so that they might hear of Jesus." When we ask to be filled with the Spirit, we are asking then to be filled with His Word, not filled with Netflix. Word of confession. We're getting ready to come up on March Madness. And this is South Carolina, so I may have to explain that to some of you, because this is a football state and a baseball state. Where I come from, it's a basketball state. And there's like 2.5-3 weeks, a good month, basketball 24/7. And it's entirely easy. I don't have to sweat it. I don't complain about it. It's easy for me to be filled with March Madness for that 30 days. What we truly love is what we'll want to be filled with. May the Lord give us more of a love for Him, for His Spirit, and for His Word, that we might be filled with it, and that it becomes our joy, that we will taste and see that it is like honey. and that we cannot survive without it. Being full of the Spirit means to be useful unto God and opposed by men and ready with an answer. A Spirit-filled answer is the Spirit-given word is in our hearts. Now to the passage that we were reading today. Now when they heard these things, they were enraged in verse 54 of 7, and they ground their teeth at him. And this is a bit of a side note, but those of you who are in this room, or those of you who are watching, note that those who grind their teeth at Jesus on earth are destined to grind their teeth in hell. And if there is anyone here who is grinding your teeth at the teaching of Jesus, if you're grinding your teeth at the authority of Jesus, know this, He will allow you to continue to grind your teeth and gnash them in the fires of hell. Today is the day of your salvation. Yield to faith in Christ, who gave Himself on a cross, indeed doing away with the law as it was given to us, that it may simply be a teacher and not our master. That all the law of Moses has been wrapped up in the obedience of Jesus Christ. Would you believe in Him? There is no more guilt in Him. There is no more guilt for those who believe in Him. Those of you who gnash your teeth at Jesus being the authority, and I'm going to be the authority of your life. It may seem to serve you well in the next year or two, but there's an eternity coming where the real authority of your life will give you exactly and justly what you deserve. Today is the day of your salvation. Believe in Him. And they were enraged and ground their teeth at Him. And it says that they were like little children. They cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears. You know, like children who don't want to hear their mother tell them to go clean the room anymore. And they put their, yeah. That's what they were doing with Stephen. Oh, resist him no longer and hear the life-giving message of Jesus Christ. And so they cast him out of the city and they stoned him and the witnesses laid down their garments. What is that about? So those who brought charges against somebody who is going to be killed, those who gave testimony, are the first ones to throw the stones by law. So that if I was lying, there's a chance that I'd have a second thought before I threw the stone and recanted my testimony. But they went through with it. And what does Stephen say? Remember now, in verse 55, throughout this whole thing, through the stoning even, he is full of the Holy Spirit. And because he is filled with the Holy Spirit, he does the kinds of things that Jesus would do in the moment. And he says, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Brothers and sisters, you cannot be filled with bitterness and be filled with the Holy Spirit. You cannot be filled with an unforgiving spirit and be filled with the Holy Spirit. But as you are filled with the Holy Spirit, your heart will be such as to forgive those who are even at that very moment hurling stones for your death. And it may be that some of us need to pray for the filling of the Spirit, so that we can stop the bitterness, the strife in our hearts, the unforgiveness in our hearts, so that we may begin to pray to the Lord for their forgiveness, and as much as it is in our power relationally, to give that forgiveness as well. Being filled with the Spirit means I'll be ready to forgive. Lastly, this morning, to be full of the Spirit is to be useful unto God. It may mean being opposed by men. It means being ready with an answer, a Holy Spirit-filled and inspired answer. It means being ready to forgive. But being full of the Spirit also means being ready for glory. So even as he's in front of them, he sees the heavens opened up and he sees the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And even as he's breathing his last, crying out for the forgiveness of those who are impaling him with stones and rubble, because he is full of the Spirit, there is assurance in his heart, and he prays, Lord Jesus, not maybe you'll take me, but Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Because he's full of the Spirit, his spirit communes with the Holy Spirit, and he knows that heaven will be his home. And as he's full of the Spirit, he is ready for the glory that is yet to be revealed to him as he has served the Lord faithfully on this day. Well, Pastor Ken, how can I know of this glory to come? How can I be filled with a spirit that assures me that God will receive me into heaven? Hear me, it's not being filled with a spirit, it's being filled with the Spirit who will tell you that you are a sinner who has sinned against a perfect God, as John has said, holy, holy, holy God, and that there's nothing that you can do about that, that you need help to be able to avoid the wrath of God, which John prayed for, and receive the peace and the love that the Father gives. The Spirit will then tell you that your help is the Lord Jesus Christ, and to cast your everything upon Him. And the Spirit will tell you, believe in Him and follow Him. And if that's the Spirit that is alive in you, then your spirit will be ready for glory as well on whatever day the Lord chooses. Think about that. I doubt that Stephen thought the morning that he woke up it was going to be his last morning waking up on the earth. But yet he was ready because he was full of the Spirit. There is another in this scene who wasn't ready at the moment, who was applauding the efforts to stifle the name of Jesus. But as I said at the beginning, let us keep praying that we might see a change in them. But what of you? What of us? How do we pray in regard to the Spirit? Really. Are we okay just being a quarter tank full? It's enough to get me home. Do I pray? I'm okay halfway. I'm okay doing certain things that sometimes I'm uncomfortable with. Are we praying to be, in obedience to the Scripture, filled with the Spirit, that His name may be glorified? Let's pray.